Yeah, Hare Krishna. Welcome to Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Keshavanand Prabhuji on the call to enlighten us on the topic of glories of Bhugarbha Goswami and Kashishwara Pandit.
Yeah, Mataji, we will skip introduction, Mataji.
Okay.
Prabhuji is already there.
Okay, Mataji. Yeah. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning. Yeah, enlightening us on the topic of Bhugarbha Goswami and Kashishwara Pandit. Please take over the call, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Is my voice clear to all of you?
Yes, Prabhuji. Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay, let's have a look who is there. Hello. Okay, so reverses. So just give me a second. Okay, is my voice clear, Mataji, to all of you now?
Yes, Prabhuji. Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so.
Kera, you sound far away.
Yeah.
Sound is far away? Let him speak. Would there be light up? So, we're going to talk about Bhugarbha Goswami and Kashishwara Pandit today. So let me just talk for our businesses and then I'll start. Uma Gyana Antimiratasya Gyana Antima Shadaka Chakshirun Pulitam Yena Tasmai Shri Shri Prabhupada Ki. So we have today Bhugarbha Goswami and Kashishwara Pandit. Got disappearance or appearance? I have to check. But anyway, we are talking about them. So let me first talk about Bhugarbha Goswami and then I'll talk about Kashishwara Pandit. So who was Bhugarbha Goswami? He is said to be all the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas, they are all by their original constitutional form, they're all, most, not all, I mean to say, many are gopis in Vrindavan or servants of gopis. So the Sarupa of Bhugarbha Goswami is said to be Prem Manjari. He is Prem Manjari in spiritual form. And his constant associate was always with him, Loknath Goswami. He was Leela Manjari. Now both of them, they stayed together. Both of them were classmates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was in Navadvip. We have to check. The classmates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Navadvip. And at that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was MIA. Actually, so, at that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was MIA. And we know that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, most of these associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they left Navadvip and went elsewhere. For example, Nari Sarkar Thakur and these people and their associates, Nari Sarkar Thakur, Mukund Raghunath, they shifted to their native place in Sri Khanda. Govind Ghosh, he went back to his place, Agradweep. Vasudev Ghosh, he went to Tamluk. And Bhugarbha Goswami, Loknath Goswami, they went to Vrindavan on Mahaprabhu's order that they should go to Vrindavan and find the lost places of Vrindavan. That's what was the job of Gopal Goswami and Loknath Goswami. So when Loknath Goswami and Gopal Goswami they left Vrindavan and they went to they left Navdeep and they went to Vrindavan. Loknath Goswami he used to actually when they reached Vrindavan was almost lost. All the holy places were lost. All the holy places were lost. Vrindavan was practically a forest at that time, full of dacoits. We have this information from Bhakti Ratnakar. It was full of dacoits and wild animals. The holy places you see today, nobody had any idea. Loknath Goswami, he used to live in Kishori Kunj in Vrindavan. What's that place? What place is there where Loknath Goswami used to live? Shori Kunj and I just forgot the name, but and from there he used to travel. His personal deities were Radha Vinod, which are still there in Vrindavan near Radha Raman temple. If you visit Radha Raman temple near Radha Raman temple, just probably 50 meters ahead, there's Loknath Goswami's temple, and we have the Radha Vinod, his deities, and the small deities, and he used to carry them in a bag which used to hang in the neck. And he used to travel in the Vrindavan. And those deities used to tell him, this is this holy place, this is this holy place. they were those deities of Loknath Goswami, they were his spiritual guides in Vrindavan. Many holy places are actually searched by Loknath Goswami. That is one of his contributions. Besides Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, who actually were who were ordered by Mahaprabhu to re-establish holy places, Loknath Goswami did a lot of job before Rupa and Sanatana came back. So, yep, samajh aa raha hai. So, with him, his friend was Bhugar Goswami. Now, both of them then stationed themselves near Radharaman temple. They were staying there. I think Bhugar Goswami, he is spiritual master of. There Bhugar Goswami's, Loknath Goswami's Samadhi presently is near Radharaman temple. Bhugar Goswami's Samadhi is in Radha Damodar temple, where Prabhupada is today. Where Rupa Goswami Samadhi is there, and on the side Bhugar Goswami Samadhi is there. Now, Bhugar Goswami is a very special personality because he was a disciple of Gadadhar Pandit. And that is why Gadadhar Pandit, many people say that he belonged to Gadadhar Pandit Shakha. Although there is some kind of controversy here because many people think that Bhugar and Loknath Goswami, they were direct disciples of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is a different issue. But Bhugar Goswami's special personality, he was so humble that when Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he was writing Chaitanya Charitamrita, he didn't mention Bhugar Goswami's name. He indirectly mentioned his name. I think they even didn't mention Loknath Goswami's name. I think so, yeah. That's quite interesting. Let me just have a look. Yeah, there is no name of Chaitanya. Okay, Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela. Once Bhugar Goswami's name is mentioned, this is 12 chapter 81 verse. Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela. It says Bhugar Gosai or Bhagavad Das Jai Dui Aisi Kaila Vrindavanevas. That's all. Bhugar Goswami and Bhagavad Das. Bhagavad Das is also disciple of Adadhar Pandit. And both of them came to Vrindavan. Some sources, they say that Bhugar Goswami is Goswami, Chacha of Raghunath Goswami, Chacha of what Chacha? Everybody's uncle. Mama is also uncle. Chacha. What do you say, Chacha? I don't know. Fathers. Fathers? Brother. Okay, so Bhugar Goswami is Raghunath Goswami's father's brother. Some sources say that. But but we can't really accept this information because this information is from Sadhan Dipika book, and whether it's authorized or not, we don't know. So we have very less information about him, but the information we have is he told Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami, don't mention my name. Krishna Goswami mentioned just once. Bhugar Goswami didn't have any disciples. He was not an initiating guru. I think even Lokanath Goswami also was initiating guru. And Narottam Das Thakur. Narottam Das Thakur. Lokanath Goswami had just one disciple, Narottam Das Thakur. That too, he accepted him very reluctantly. So that's why we don't have any mention of Bhugar Goswami. Bhakti Ratnakar, it mentions Lokanath Goswami, Bhugar Goswami. Just a little. So this personality, Bhugar Goswami, is not well known, and we don't have much information. This because they didn't want people to know about them. So what do we learn from Bhugar Goswami? We learn from Bhugar Goswami humility. Humility that he was so humble. He didn't want himself to be known among the associates, even among the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We have so much information about other associates, but he was not there. When Srinivas Acharya, he came to Vrindavan, he met Bhugar Goswami and Loknath Goswami. They were there at that time. Narottam Das Thakur and these people were there. So, but still, he didn't disclose his, he didn't really propagandize himself. But the speciality of Bhugar Goswami was that he used to recite Srimad Bhagavatam very nicely. His friend was Sri Bhagavad Das. Both of them used to daily read Srimad Bhagavatam and recite Srimad Bhagavatam very nicely. And that's what they were doing 24 hours. And that's what is life all about. Reading Srimad Bhagavatam and chanting holy names. That's all. Actually, you know what? It is best that if you can serve Krishna, chant his holy names, and nobody knows you, and you die and just get out of this material. That's the best thing. If you are unknown, if you remain unknown in this material world, you are safe. But in preaching mission, this doesn't happen because you have to preach. There's so many people out there. Automatically, you become famous. And there's a lot of puja la pratishtha there. People look up to you as spiritual guide. So it's a little tough. Bhugar Goswami was just anti to this, all this mood. Bhugar and Lokanath Goswami, they didn't even think themselves fit to become initiated gurus. That's why Lokanath Goswami was so reluctant to have Narottam Das Thakur as a disciple. That is Gaudiya Vaishnava humility. Prabodhanand Saraswati, he has written a book, Chaitanya. What's that? I forgot the name. Anyway, yes, he's written a book on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, glorification. And he writes there, Prabodhanand Saraswati writes that the humility which Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they express, was never seen and will be seen. It is beyond imagination. That's the kind of humility which Gaudiya Vaishnavas express. And Bhugar Goswami, he's the emblem of that humility. None of us can actually lead a life like him. Completely unknown to anybody. How does it happen? This Bhugar Goswami, he had no desire to be known among the associates, even among the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just like this Vamshidas Babaji. Vamshidas Babaji, he was one of the contemporaries of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Gopakrishna Das Babaji at that time, much later. So Vamsyas Babaji, he spent his whole life in Navadvip Mayapur, his entire life doing bhajan of Gaur Nithais. But at the end of his life, he left Navadvip Mayapur. That's quite interesting. He just left. At the end of the life, people go to dham to leave their body. But he left the dham. And where did he go? He went to his house at the end of his life. His native place, his house. And in this house, he stayed there. And all around the house, his hut, small hut at that time, he spread packets of cigarette and fishes and alcohol bottles so that people will say that, oh, at the, see, whole life he did bhajan. At the end of life, he fell down. And really, I mean to say, people started criticizing him. See this Babaji, finally he fell down. At the end of his life, he couldn't really control his senses. And now he's drinking, smoking, he's eating fish, he's drinking wine. And that's how Vamsyas Babaji left his body, in his house, much far from dham. What do you say about that? And the idea was, why he did this? He did this because he didn't want to be known as a famous devotee when he left. He wanted that when he leaves, people should not praise him. People should simply praise Krishna and not him. And nobody should make his samadhi and collect money out of it. Because in Navadvip Mayapur, there's a trend. Big Babajis, when they leave their body, they make the samadhi in their mutt, and then when tourists come, they pay obeisances and they collect money. So this whole facade was there also with Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. When Gaur Kishore Babaji, he left his body, all the Babajis of Navadvip, they came and they were fighting that we will make samadhi in our mutt of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, because Gaur Kishore Das Babaji was very famous, and all of them wanted that his Gaur Kishore Babaji's samadhi should be in our mutt so that people will come in our mutt and then we collect money. So they were all were fighting. But of course, finally, Bhakti Sarana Saraswati Thakur, he came and he said that you're all fools. And he said at that time, okay, you can take his body to your mutt, but if you have touched a female for last 1 year, then you should not touch. All were supposed to be renunciates and they just were looking down on the floor because they were all into illicit sex. All Babajis at that time. You see, that's quite interesting. I was thinking, I mean to say, without internet, they were in illicit sex. Sitting in dham and they're all Babajis and they are in illicit sex. And how did it happen? I don't know, but that's my... So there was whole this Lagulab and this all Prasad and Vamsyas Babaji. Vamsyas Babaji, he didn't want this. He didn't want that people should use him after he leaves his body to collect money. So that's why he left dham. He didn't think if I leave my body in my home, what will happen? I should leave my body in dham so that it will be beneficial for me. That's not Gaudiya Vaishnavism all about. It's not about us. It's about Krishna. So he was so humble in that sense. And that is why it is said, Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra, Vigyana Vijaya. That's what it is said. How do you understand this? Even, I think even, yeah. No, that even Srila Prabhupada, he, at the end of his time, he said, So when he was very sick, very, very sick, he said, I want to go to London for preaching tour. And of course, he was absolutely in no position to go to even Govardhan from Vrindavan. And he was saying, I will go to London to preach. Prabhupada was not thinking that I will leave my body in Vrindavan. That's not the criteria. Because wherever there is devotee, there is Vrindavan. It's not that devotee wherever there is pure devotee, there is Vrindavan. That is the rule. You know, once what happened was, so there's a small story here. Once what happened was, this Garudji, he was flying in the sky. So Garudji was flying in the sky, and or what happened? So Garudji was flying in the sky, and Garudji was flying over Antarctica, South Pole. Are they South Pole or North Pole? Whatever it is. So he was flying there, and he saw one Mataji, one female doing tapasya in Antarctica. He was sitting and doing tapasya in the snow. And so Garudji thought in his mind, he was in the sky, he was flying. And he thought in the mind, why is she doing tapasya? She should be in Vrindavan or in Haridwar in some dham. Why is she sitting in the snow somewhere and in South Pole, what Antarctica, what she's doing? As soon as Garudji thought this, his wings caught fire. He was fired and he just fell down. He couldn't do anything. He fell down and then he was praying to Vishnu, Vishnu, please save me, please save me. And then Vishnu came and he said, you see, you did an offense. You were thinking that this Mataji should be in Dham and Vrindavan doing it her tapasya. But actually, you don't know, she's pure devotee. And wherever she is, there is Vrindavan. So what's that verse? Yad Gayanti Mad Bhakta Tatritishthami Narada. Wherever my devotees sing my glories, there I am. That is Vrindavan. So, why am I saying this? What's the point? What's the point? So Vamshiraj Babaji, I was saying, he left Mayapur Navdeep. But actually, he didn't leave Mayapur Navdeep. He took Mayapur Navdeep with him to his house. That's the whole point. But mundane people, they can't see this. So that is very important. Gaudiya Vaishnavism is not about us. It's about Krishna. But that thing, only pure devotees can understand. I mean, pure devotees can actually demean themselves. They are ready to defame themselves if Krishna becomes famous. That's what Vamsaya Babaji showed in his actions. Similarly, is Bhupal Goswami and Loknath Goswami. They also desired nobody should know about us. And we'll just leave this world like that. Although Loknath Goswami did a tremendous service, actually. Bhakti Ratnakar speaks about it. Loknath Goswami did a tremendous service. This all the holy places near Govardhan are searched by actually Loknath Goswami. He did that. So there are holy places between Barsana and Nandgaon. So I forgot the name of that kunda. I just forgot that. So which is made by tears of Shrimati Radharani. I just forgot that name. Prem Sarovar? Yeah, Prem Sarovar, I think. Yeah, Prem Sarovar. It is actually found by Loknath Goswami, all of these. So, although they did service, they didn't demand attention. That is devotion. You do service, but you don't demand attention. So that is about Bhupal Goswami. I think I'll just leave it at that. And now I will talk about Kashishwar Pandit. You see one thing, all of the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are humble in one way or the other. In fact, that's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. The most important quality of a devotee is humbleness, which actually attracts Krishna. No other quality of devotee attracts Krishna as much as humbleness. But what is humbleness? That is very difficult to understand. That's the issue here. Grossly, we can understand what is humbleness. But when you go to finer levels, it's very difficult to understand what is humbleness. But if in one line you want to say what is, and even not one line, but many lines are there about humbleness. There are many aspects of humbleness. In fact, when we keep on chanting and when we become pure, we are freed of false ego. Then actually, Krishna makes us understand from within our heart what is humbleness. It's Krishna. And that is why you see pure devotees. So Prabhupada says, who is Uttam Adhikari? Uttam Adhikari is a person. So there are many definitions about Uttam Adhikari, but one of the definitions Prabhupada says, Uttam Adhikari is a person whom you see and you start chanting. Simply by his darshan, you will become Krishna consciousness. That is Uttam Adhikari. So that he doesn't need to speak. Why it's like that? Because of his humility, Krishna has accepted. Krishna, his all actions, his speaking, his walking, everything expresses humility. So if in one line you want to understand what's humility, humility is all about making Krishna famous and making Krishna glorified by our actions, words, and thoughts. That is humility. That's all. Or in simple words, humility is all about making Krishna hero and making yourself zero. That's humility. That's all. Zero are not in the sense of Buddhism, but insignificant. Making Krishna significant and making yourself insignificant. Or you can say humility is all about making yourself insignificant so that Krishna shines through. You don't block Krishna. That's humility. We don't block Krishna. Now we are doing devotion. We are serving Krishna, we are doing preaching, we are doing so many things. But we let Krishna become famous. And we don't come in between that person, between people and Krishna. That's very important. Just like Srila Prabhupada. You see, Srila Prabhupada started this movement. Nobody knows Prabhupada. Everybody knows Hare Krishna. Isn't it? The Hare Krishna Wale. Not Prabhupada Wale. In fact, when people go to ISKCON, even after going to ISKCON, even after, after 2-3 years, then they start to know who is Prabhupada. Otherwise, people know Hare Krishna, that's all. This is humility. Prabhupada never made himself famous. He made Krishna famous. So that's what, if you want to learn something about Guru Goswami, we can learn this important point. So don't be so humble that you become famous as a humble devotee. Don't do that. That will be crazy stuff. That happens. That's not humility. That's also false ego in the garb of humility. So humility means nobody can see you. Even Maya cannot see. So you are safe in that sense. Okay. Then, this is about Guru Goswami. Now I'll talk about Kashishwar Pandit. So who is Kashishwar Pandit? Kashishwar Pandit is also a less known personality. Of course, he's mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita. That is, Kashishwar Pandit, he was disciple of Ishwar Puri Path. Ishwar Puri, he is disciple of Madhavendra Puri, isn't it? One of the foremost and very dear disciples, Ishwar Puri of Madhavendra Puri. In fact, he was so dear that Madhavendra Puri, when he was leaving, he blessed Ishwar Puri with love of God. And Ishwar Puri became a spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna himself. He was so fortunate in that sense. Now, Ishwar Puri had these two disciples, had many disciples, but these two disciples were famous, Govinda and Ashishwar Pandit. And when Ishwar Puri was leaving his body, he commanded, he ordered Govinda and Kashyapeshwar Pandit to go and serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had already taken sannyas at that time. He was in Puri. He said, go to him, serve him, because he's God. Kashyap Puri knew. So Govinda immediately left. He immediately left. And he joined Mahaprabhu. Actually, he came to Puri and he said, Mahaprabhu asked, who are you? And he said, I am disciple of Ishwar Puri. And Mahaprabhu immediately paid him dandavats because he is his godbrother. Mahaprabhu is disciple of Ishwar Puri and Govinda is also disciple of Ishwar Puri. But Govinda said, Ishwar Puri has asked me to go and serve you. So Mahaprabhu said, well, how this is possible? You are my godbrother. So Sarvam Bhattacharya was standing near him, Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu asked Sarvam Bhattacharya, what should we do? It's the order of my guru, to him that he should serve me. I can't say no to the order of my guru. By the same time, he's my godbrother. So I can't take service. So I am in dharma sankat. There's a problem. So he asked Sarvam Bhattacharya what to do. Sarvam Bhattacharya said then, scripture says that whenever there is dharma sankat, whenever there is two actions which are both correct, the action which carries the order of guru, that has more strength, that is higher. So okay, he's your godbrother and you can't accept his services, but the order of your guru is that he should serve him, he should serve you, so you should accept his services. So Mahaprabhu said, okay. So actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us that order of guru can never be denied. It should never be denied. It has to be done at any cost. So Govinda came, but Kashyapeshwar Pandit, he went for Tirth Yatra. Tirth Yatra in India. Bharat Tirth Yatra. So he didn't arrive immediately with Govinda. After doing Tirth Yatra, he came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he then submitted himself to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he then took service of Kashyapeshwar Pandit. The service of Kashyapeshwar Pandit was to actually escort Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Jagannath Puri temple. Whenever Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to go to Jagannath Puri temple, Kashyapeshwar Pandit used to go in front of him. Actually, Kashyapeshwar Pandit was a big guy. He was actually a very muscular guy. So he was like a bodybuilder, Kashyapeshwar Pandit. He was from Bengal. So there is a place, so near Calcutta, there is a place, Vallapur, on Rudra Pandit. He comes from there. So there is a small village, the Chandragram. He comes from that village. So from Calcutta, you can catch a taxi and then it will just take 1 hour and you can just visit this place, Kashyapeshwar Pandit's house. So he came, so anyway, that's his birthday. But anyway, so after Tirth Yatra, he came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he submitted himself, and his service was to escort him to Jagannath Puri temple. Daily Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to have darshan of Jagannath Puri temple. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to go, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually became very famous in Jagannath Puri as Gosai. People used to call him Gosai. His own devotees used to call him Mahaprabhu, but ordinary people used to call him Gosai. So he became very famous as Gosai. So whenever he used to go, people used to come in crowds to have his darshan and to actually touch his feet. As in India, it's custom, you know, to touch the feet of the saint and take blessings. So Kashyapeshwar Pandit used to block them because he was very strong. And he used to make a way. He used to make way so that Mahaprabhu could go ahead and have darshan of Jagannath. See, otherwise, if he was not there, if he would not have been there, then Mahaprabhu wouldn't be even able to actually visit Jagannath temple, because people would to surround him and take blessings and love and all these things. So that was the service. Another service of Kashishwar Pandit was whenever Chaitanya Prabhu used to dance in front of Rathyatra, Kashishwar Pandit used to block people with his hands, muscular hands, so that people should not fall on him. That was Kashishwar Pandit's. There were three circles around Chaitanya Prabhu. Right? Whenever Mahaprabhu used to dance, the first circle was of Nityananda Prabhu and his associates. They were surrounding Mahaprabhu. You see in Jagannath Yatra, it's so rush, it's extreme rush. If you fall down, then you're dead because people will work on you. So to make a space for Mahaprabhu to dance, Mahaprabhu was dancing and Nityananda Prabhu's associates, they were first circle. Kashishwar Pandit and his people were second circle. And Mukund and others were third circle. Mukund and also other third circle, and then fourth circle was King Pratapudra and his people. And in between Chaitanya Prabhu was dancing. So Kashishwar Pandit was practically bodyguard of Chaitanya Prabhu. Govinda was actually doing service of Chaitanya Prabhu. So he was, let's say, Kashishwar Pandit was bodyguard and Govinda was, what can we say? Body servant, something like that.
Personal servant.
Yeah, personal servant. Yes, yeah. I wanted to use something, body something, but anyway. So both Govinda and Kashishwar Pandit, they were doing Bapu Seva. Both of them. They were doing Bapu Seva. But in different ways. This Bhakti Chandra Saraswati Thakur, he had a bodyguard whose name was Mocha Singh. And he was Sardar Punjabi Sikh Mocha Singh. His height was 6 feet 7 inches. 6 feet 7, what kind of person he would be? And he used to eat 100 chapatis in breakfast, 100 chapatis in lunch, 100 chapatis in dinner. he was rakshas. He was bodyguard of Bhakti Chandra. But Bhakti Chandra used to speak so strong, and Bhakti Chandra had a lot of threats from people that we will kill you because you're speaking against everybody. So Sundaram Vidya Vinod, he hired this Mocha Singh from Punjab, and whenever Bhakti Chandra used to give lecture, he was standing beside Bhakti Chandra with a rifle. And he was speaking, you should always surrender to Krishna and have faith in his protection. This person is standing with a gun on the side. Quite interesting. Quite a dilemma. But anyway, when you preach, they're always envious. If you preach purely, they'll be envious. If there's no envious person around you, then you're not preaching. You are flattering. If everybody's praising you, you're flattering people. Because pure katha, pure message will always bring enviousness from this material world. Nobody's exempt from that. Christ, Prophet Muhammad, Buddha, all of them faced a big revolt. Because they were speaking truth. That's all. Nobody likes truth. So that was Kashishwar Pandit. He was probably like Mocha Singh. So he was there. And both Kashishwar and Govinda, they were doing Bapu Seva. Bapu Seva. Govinda was taking care of the body of Chaitanya Prabhu. And Kashishwar Pandit was protecting his body from crowd and from other people. So Kashishwar Pandit, he was very fortunate in that sense to actually serve Chaitanya Prabhu in that capacity. And his deities are still there in that village, Chatragram, which is still there near Calcutta, near Rudra Vallapur, near Calcutta. There is a village, 1 hour journey to Kolhapur. It's a village, Asragram. And he had his deities, Gaurang Mahaprabhu's deities, and Radha Krishna deities are still there. And you can visit that place. There's still Samadhi of Pashishwar Pandit. We went there and we had paid obeisances there. So that's about Pashishwar Pandit. So by Pashishwar Pandit, what do you learn? By Bhugarbha Swami, you learn humility. By Bhugarbha Swami, you learn what do you mean by humility. It's not just becoming humble and becoming famous as a humble devotee. That's not the idea. Humility means that it should be unknown and unseen while you serve Krishna. You're serving Krishna to fullest extent, but nobody knows. Or even if they know you, they simply praise Krishna and they see Krishna in you and not you. That's the whole idea. Just like Prabhupada, people knew Prabhupada, but they became Krishna consciousness by seeing Prabhupada. So that's what is humility all about. And by Kashishwar Pandit, you learn that actually devotion is all about protecting God. Devotion is not about asking protection always. Devotion is about protecting God and his devotees. That is a servant. Just like we serve, so just like in morning we sing Narsingh Arti, Namaste Narsinghaya. So that Narsingh Arti we sing, so what's our mood? People think, okay, fine, you know, we sing Narsingh Arti, so we should ask protection from Lord Narsingh. And people have that Narsingh Kavach. Narsingh Kavach is, I don't know, that's quite controversial thing. But to ask protection from Lord Narsingh, that's okay. We ask protection from Lord Narsingh. We ask protection for our devotion from Lord Narsingh. But who is a servant of Lord Narsingh? You want to become a servant? Servant of Lord Narsingh is who protects the mission of Lord Narsimha. That's a servant. And what's the mission of Lord Narsimha? To protect devotees. So servant of Lord Narsimha is what will he be doing? He will be protecting devotees. So this is a very different take on devotion. Protecting God is devotion. It's not always asking protection from God. If you protect God, then God will protect you. So how do you protect God? Well, when he was personally present, Kashishwar Pandit was actually protecting him. How do we protect God now? We protect his mission. And protect his devotees. And help them to advance in devotion. That is what his devotion all about. That's all. That's it. So these are two teachings which we can get from Bhugarbha Goswami, Kashishwar Pandit. We can apply them. Hare Krishna, Shri Prabhupada, Bhagavad Gita, Swami Kashishwar Pandit. Okay, any questions? Anything?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you for such a simple, crisp, clear class, Prabhuji. Thank you. I like the point when you specified humility with examples. They were wonderful, Prabhuji. And even this example now, if we protect Krishna, Krishna will protect us. That is just like I have seen a famous quote in Tirupati. They mentioned Dharmo Rakshati Rakshitaha.
Oh yeah. Yeah, you're right. Dharmo Rakshati Rakshita. Yeah. You can connect with this. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a wonderful class. Yeah, devotees, if anyone has any questions, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam Prabhu, Keshavan Prabhu, thank you.
Hare Krishna
Prabhu. So, Prabhuji, one question, this Vamshidas Babaji that you said, when end of the life, right, the situation that you mentioned, right, Prabhu? So, in that case, how is he glorifying Krishna Prabhu? We can say, because of his behavior that he did, he was not glorifying Krishna, right? He was downsizing devotion.
Yeah, he can say like that.
Uh-huh.
Isme nahi hai, just keep it. So yeah, yeah, he was not. Yeah, his actions might would have actually defamed Krishna, because people would say such a great Babaji, and then he fell down, and what kind of devotion is it? Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're asking. But you see, that's why it is said Vaishnavira Kriya Mudra Vigyana Bhaja. It's very difficult to understand what exactly is happening. But what he was doing is, he thought in his mind that if he would have left his body in Vrindavan Navadvip, then what would have happened was he would be glorified as a big saint, and people will collect money on his name. So actually people would collect money on the name of Krishna, because now he is a devotee of Krishna, and use in their sense gratification. So he wanted to stop that. He wanted to stop it. So he thought, let me just go back and let me just die like this, so that people will say, well, he's not a Babaji. So that so that nobody will use him to actually defame Krishna. So I mean to say, you see, when he left, people would have said, okay, fine, you know, he fell down. But if you would have died in Vrindavan, Navadvip, then people would have made samadhi, and then years together, people would actually defame Krishna. Because tourists will come, they will offer obeisance, and the people will ask money, and then people will lose faith. Oh, this is, the harm is like this, you know, people asking money on the name of Babaji. So you see, so he chose to actually defame Krishna, if you want to put it like that, just for a few moments, rather than defaming Krishna for years together after he leave this planet. That was his idea. That was he was thinking like that. And especially, actually, he was thinking that if I die like this, so nobody would remember me, and I would be criticized. That was his actually main purpose, that I would be criticized, and I would not be known as a big saint, and people will not glorify me. So that's good, you know. Even while living, I couldn't stop becoming famous, because people were watching me. At least after I die, people should forget me. No. He was thinking my name should be erased from this planet. Actually, that, you know what, this thing happened. yeah. So just give me a minute.
Okay.
So this thing happened with John the Baptist. He was actually spiritual master of Christ. So when Christ, he came and he was baptized by John, he went after being baptized or initiated. Baptized means initiated. So John the Baptist, he said, now it's a time for Christ, him, he's saying to him, for him to increase and from me to decrease.
Mm-hmm.
And he was imprisoned by a king, and then he was beheaded. He was killed. And he said, that's fine, you know, I must die so that Christ should become famous. Because if I live, then people will come to me. I am famous, and his fame will be divided with me. So that was the thinking of Vamsi Babaji. He thought that the fame will be divided between Krishna and me. People will glorify me, people will glorify Krishna. But that I don't want. I want all fame to go to Krishna, so I will defame myself. All the shared should go to Krishna. That was his thinking. You see, it's a different kind of thinking.
Yes, Prabhu. Thank you, Prabhu. Another question, Prabhu. Even what is the significance of knowing about these saintly persons? Like, you know, what should we like think about or gain when we when these great saintly persons or their like quality of life is discussed?
What's the question? What would you think when?
Yeah, like what is the significance of knowing the life story?
Knowing.
Of, yeah.
Knowing. Yeah, I mean to say why. I mean to say with our faith is preserved by knowing the life history of these saints. Faith. How do you preserve your faith? Your faith, our faith cannot be fully preserved by philosophy. That's very difficult. Only because of these saints we still have faith. Otherwise, by logic, you can completely destroy all theistic arguments. It's possible. It's possible. Logic cannot sustain our faith. Only logic and only philosophy. Philosophy, it is said in Mahabharata, what's that? Sumatir Abhinnam. What's that? So it is said, if you are a philosopher, that means you don't agree with any other philosophy. That's why you're a philosopher. You see the point? So every philosopher has a different philosophy. Otherwise, he's not a philosopher. So in that sense, philosophy can be contradicted and can be refuted. Any philosophy, even Vaishnavism. So if there is a strong Mayavadi, he can simply defeat all Vaishnava arguments. He can simply destroy Vaishnavism. I mean to say this Madhusudan Saraswati, he completely destroyed Bhakti by his Mayavadism. He finished. Of course, later disciples of Vyasatirth, Madhva Sampradaya, they came and they defeated Madhusudan Saraswati. Madhusudan Saraswati wrote a book, Advaita Siddhi, and put a big havoc, and he completely finished devotional philosophy by his arguments. So you can do that. So then, how do you keep faith? By the life history of saints, because they spend their whole life doing devotion. So what they're doing in spending life in devotion, why they're doing, one is forced to think. And especially by knowing the lives of these saints, we learn, like from Mughal Goswami, we learn what is humility. If I tell you what is humility, if I tell you how, be humble, we don't know what's humble. So by Mughal Goswami, by studying his life, we know what is humble. By studying the life of Kashishwar Pandit, we know what do you mean by devotion. It's about protecting God. So they actually are live examples for the teachings which we are taking. So what example? What is better? Example is better than precept. It is said. So examples helps us to understand the philosophy. Philosophy in action. These devotees are philosophy in action, so that we can learn how to. We can learn to be humble, but then how to be humble? We have to see that how thing. Philosophy gives us the what thing. It's the saints and acharyas, their lives of saints, they give us the how thing. How to do that? Okay, what? We have to be truthful. That's what. But how to be truthful? That's Harishchandra. Satyavadi Harishchandra. To what extent we can go to be truthful? That's the idea, no? What are the limits of truth? What is the extent of truth? Let's put it like that, not the limits. So that is why reading the saints, lives of saints, that is the most important thing in devotional life. Without that, nobody will be able to sustain their faith, and nobody will be able to even understand what's devotion and what are the concepts of devotion. It's impossible. That's the idea.
Yeah, thank you very much, Prabhu. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Dandavat Pranam, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Keshavanam Prabhuji. Thank you so much. This was such a beautiful, beautiful class. Very powerful. I really, really appreciated what you said.
You always appreciate Tiffany Mataji.
I do, because your classes are so powerful and they're direct, and they always touch my heart. I'm so grateful for the statements you made about humility and about how before Gaudiya Vaishnavism, you know, nobody had seen the kind of humility that the Goswamis exhibited. And it's so inspiring to hear that. And also all of the things you said about glorifying Krishna through our words and our actions and things like that. That's also very important. What I wanted to ask you is, you know, with, you know, when I look at devotees, you just want to glorify. Devotees have so many beautiful qualities, you know, even even for, you know, devotees just starting out, to come to this practice in the first place is just, it just shows a level of, yeah, just such, it just shows a beautiful heart to me. And my question is, you know, as devotee, what can we do to try to keep ourselves humble? I mean, you've given some good ideas already, just listening to the lives of these humble Vaishnavas who have come before us. But again, it's just, devotees are so beautiful. And when I see every devotee, I can see something just amazing in them. And so what can we do? I often pray for humility, but what can we do to really work on it within ourselves, to make sure that we remain humble, even though we're developing all of these beautiful qualities?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's a very important question, because often the first quality before we fall down, the first quality to go down before we go down is humility. Maya is always at lookout to destroy our humility, and all other qualities will easily crumble once humility is gone, because all the qualities, they stand on humbleness. Humbleness is strong. Humbleness is strength, actually. Humbleness is not weakness. And on that strength, all of the qualities, they actually reside and they stand and they take, they're balanced on this quality of humbleness. So what should we practically do? Of course, one thing I said, always read the lives of saints, great saints, and our mind will always be set on humility. That's one thing. Another thing we can do to remind ourselves that we should be humble in spite of the fact that we are advancing in devotion, but we have to remember that we are humble. Another thing is to always remember our past. That's very important. Who we were before we were devotees, and how did we come to devotion? We never wanted to come in devotion. In fact, we were absolutely not interested in devotion. But it's devotees and Krishna who actually pulled us by force. It was by force that we admitted into devotional line. And we should remember that that is very important. Remember our past, how simple we were. In fact, not just this lifetimes we have been simple. In fact, Vallabh Sampradaya, When they give initiation, there is a mantra which they have to recite, and that mantra says that I will always remember that I have been a sinful wretch for millions and millions of lives. So okay, if you can't remember your millions of lives, at least remember this life. This life is enough to make us humble. The sins of this life is enough to make us extremely humble. that's the point there. So, yeah, remember the past, always. Another thing to keep ourselves humble is to have good association of devotees who actually, pin us on the point. So, to keep good association of devotees who actually make us always remind us where we are going wrong, and probably we are going offshoot, and we are losing our humility. It's very easy to lose humility, especially in preaching mission. It's very, very easy. Very easy to lose humility when you are preaching, when you're connected to devotees. So just like, because preaching, you have people, you know, listening to you and praising you and so many things. So you should have devotees who can actually keep you on the track. Good friends. That's very important in devotion. In fact, Vishwan Chakravarti Thakur says, that's so important in devotion, to have good friends, that if we don't have, it's certain that we'll fall down. Bharat Maharaj, he fell down because of lack of good friends. That was the point. That's where the story of Bharat Maharaj begins in Srimad Bhagavatam. So we should have good friends who are our well-wishers, who are not just our flatterers, or who are not just, who don't just like to praise us. I mean to say, we can have friends who praise us, but we should have good friends who also help us, who also can warn us, who are in that capacity to warn us. All friends cannot warn you because of lack of relationship. So that's very, very important. Otherwise, there's nobody to warn us. And we'll never know that we are off for a trip of false ego. We will not be able to understand. So that's third thing. We should have good, intimate friends. That's what it is Rupa Goswami's advice. Uyam akhyati prachyati. He says their nectar of instruction. That's the third thing. Fourth thing is, we have to chant very nicely. By the power of holy name, automatically mind develops transcendental humility. And that we all experience. I mean, so when you chant nicely, automatically mind becomes humble. It loses false ego. A false ego is crushed. So chant nicely. If we don't chant nicely, then it's very difficult to become spontaneously humble. We can adjust in our mind, but that adjustment is not humbleness. Adjustment is adjustment. Humbleness is spontaneous. So that we can do. Days after days, it should not be that days after days our chanting should be just finishing rounds. Because you see, it's preaching missions, so sometimes people travel and they are hectic schedules. So every time chanting is not quality chanting, but it should not keep on going like that. Sometimes, okay, you're busy, you have to finish your rounds, but you can't get quality chanting. But it should not be like days after days. That's crap. That thing we have to keep in mind. And of course, I can think of these things. If you have to remind. Bhakti Shanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, that is his advice. And in the morning, when you get up, what was that? Yeah, beat your mind. Shoes?
Yeah. Broom in the morning and shoes at night, I think.
Yeah, brooms in the morning, shoes in the night, yeah. So what's the meaning of that? The meaning of that is always keep on reminding yourself your bad qualities. Don't focus on your good qualities. Focus on your bad qualities. That's very important. Always keep on reminding, see, I have this bad quality. And I have to improve. Still, I have to improve. Because it's a general tendency of humans to actually see bad in others and good in ourselves. But just the opposite, see good in others and bad in yourself. That is what dharma teaches. And that's what Bhakti Santa said when he said, boom in the morning, shoes in the night. The practical meaning is always remind yourself your bad qualities. And that will keep you humble. And if you say that I can't find bad qualities in myself, then that's a worst quality, I think. You can't find a bad quality in yourself? What's this? Then that's a worst scenario. We already fallen. We are in a very bad shape. So these are a few practical tips we can keep ourselves humble. But of course, in the end, everything can fail. Because Maya is strong. And Maya can make you believe that you are really humble. And what do you do with that? Okay, I'm doing all these things, so I'm humble. And that's another trap. So in the end, we have to pray that Krishna, okay, I'll try my best to remind myself that I'm humble. And I will not let my false ego trap myself. But at the same time, please help me so that I don't forget this most important quality, which pleases you the most. So that is very important. Prayers, always pray, walking, sleeping, sitting, anywhere you are. Just you can pray to Krishna. He's in your heart and he'll listen. We'll fail. We'll fail many times, we know. But Krishna never fails to help us. Even millions of times, he's ready to help us. I mean to say, you see the point. A real devotee, he's actually, after some time, he'll be ashamed to pray. How many times you'll pray? You pray, then you fail, you pray, then you fail, you pray. Then a time comes when you're ashamed to pray to Krishna. Krishna, how should I pray to you? Because if I pray to you, that please help me. And then again, I'll fail you by doing something crap. Something crap, which is full of false ego. So that situation should be there. We should pray with a mood of shame. So how do I put it? We should pray with shamefulness. How should we speak? I don't know. No, we should pray with a sense of shame. Yeah. Should pray with a sense of shame that Krishna, I'm praying, but anyway, but you are the most merciful, still you will forgive me and you will help me to become humble. It's so contradictory, isn't it? I mean to say, to become humble should be so easy, but it's becoming so difficult to become humble. It's crazy, you know. We are just inverted situation. Anyway, these are something practical things I can think of to remind ourselves that we should be humble.
That's wonderful. Yes, thank you. Thank you so much, Prabhu. No, they're very helpful tips. I'm very grateful for this class. Like I said, it was so beautiful. Everything that you said was just amazing. And I really appreciate these four, actually five tips to work on. It's so important. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you for your service.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, dear devotees. Are there any further questions for Prabhuji?
Krishna, Dandavat Pranam, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, you have said that means developing humility means we must have quality chanting to develop humility. And this, but Prabhu, sometimes when we means spontaneously we say means in a genuine heart, like
me,
with in a very humble heart, but sometimes your devotee says that, oh Prabhu, you are very humble. So how to Prabhu means actually genuinely we don't know such thing, but sometimes the devotee say, oh Prabhu, you are very humble. So how to take this thing as a take home message? Means how to take this in our life?
No, take what? Take what?
Sometimes we genuinely doesn't know anything, but still devotee says, oh Prabhu, you are very humble.
Achha, oh I can understand. Okay.
Yeah. Like for example, I will say, okay, for example, if I don't know Mangala Arati, right? Mm-hmm. And one devotee says, oh, Prabhu, can you see Mangala Arati? Then I will say that, Prabhu, you can sing, you may sing. Oh, Prabhu, mm-hmm. You are very humble, like that.
I can understand. I can understand. Yeah. So you're saying like that
how to?
No,
how to tackle this?
You don't need to.
When we genuinely,
I can understand. I can understand. You see, you are genuinely saying I am fallen because you are fallen, but then people say you are humble. But I'm saying I'm fallen.
Yeah.
So anyway, how do you tackle what you have to tackle?
Prabhupada said in one of the purport that, one of the letters that one disciple says that, Prabhupada, I'm very fallen. Then Prabhupada says, you are fallen? No, you are already fallen. So I'm actually fallen. So, but devotee says, no, you are very exalted, elevated personality. So how to take this glorification as a Krishna's blessings and Krishna's mercy, that because of Krishna himself, that I am able to in the Krishna consciousness, in the devotees association. So to take this?
No, I mean to say, why do you say I'm poor? Don't say. That's all. If you say I'm fallen, people will say that you're humble. So don't say it. Because then people are glorifying you. But we don't want glorification. So don't speak I'm fallen. That's fine. So I don't speak I'm fallen, because I know people will immediately say you're humble. But I know I'm really fallen. So why should I take this compliment? And I'm humble. So I personally avoid saying I'm fallen, because I know I'm fallen. So what should I say? And if I speak this, then people will compliment. So that will be just anti-devotion. It can develop anti-devotional mood in our mind. So that's why don't say I'm fallen, and neither say I'm elevated. That's all. Just glorify Krishna. That's it. Or don't say, okay, I don't know Mangala Arati, for example, whatever. You see, sometimes people will say something. You're right. So people tend to glorify devotees. Good devotees are the devotees. So we should think that if they are glorifying anything in us, actually they are glorifying Krishna. Although they are misunderstanding. So you don't know Mangala Arati, and you're saying, I don't know Mangala Arati, but then devotees are saying, you are so humble. So what to do in that case? Well, in that case, you know that they are nice devotees, and those devotees want to glorify others. That's their nature. But as far as I'm concerned, really, I mean, I don't know Mangala Arati, and you can... So I mean to say, so you can simply tell them, I don't know Mangala Arati, rather than saying, Prabhuji, you sing. Then you are creating a confusion. You see the point there? So then, so the example you quoted in that, then we are creating a confusion. If he says, Prabhuji, sing Mangala Arati, we say, Prabhuji, you sing. Well, then they say, of course, they will say, you're humble. But you should say, Prabhuji, I don't know how to sing Mangala Arati. And that will keep the point on track. Then they will say, oh, you're nonsense. So it's up to us, how do we speak? So I think one of the things is, if people are saying we are very humble, that means we are not presenting ourselves truly. We are doing something wrong there in presentation, and then people will think, oh, you're humble. So we should simply say like that, I don't know. So then people will say, oh yeah, you don't know Mangala Arati, you should learn. And that will keep us humble. Mm-hmm. So we are the problem there, what I can see. We are the problem. So we say, Prabhuji, I'm very fallen. Then anybody will say, Prabhuji, you're very humble, because nobody will tell, oh, Prabhuji, you're really fallen. I know you're fallen. Nobody's going to tell like that. Nobody in the world. So then don't say I'm fallen. That's all. Finish. Because you will get a compliment. So we should know that. That's the point. We should know what to say, what not to say, so that we don't get compliments. We should avoid saying all these things. It's not... So your question is a nice question, because it explains further what is humbleness. So how should we express humbleness in our words, in our thoughts, in our actions? In our words, we should express humbleness. In words, we should express humbleness by admitting our faults and not just playing around with words. Then there will be a problem. So don't say you're fallen. So if you want to be really humble, then you say, Prabhuji, last night I was seeing a movie. Then the words will say, what crap you are. Instead of saying I'm fallen, then you clearly say, if you really want to say I'm fallen, if you don't want a compliment, then you clearly say, so for example, I'm saying, for example, then we can clearly say, Prabhuji, last night I was seeing a movie. So every day I don't get up for Mangala Arati. Then we will really get good compliments. good in inverted commas. No. So you see the point. That's very important. That's why I say, in the words we should be humble, in thoughts, in actions, in words. And this is how. So of course we can't announce in public that that Prabhuji, I was seeing movie last night, and on the last to last night, I went to restaurant to read nonsense. We can't just announce in public all these things, even if sometimes it happens. So don't speak like that. Fine, don't announce your bad habits. It's foolishness to announce bad, isn't it? Or to announce our faults. But at the same time, we even don't say we are falling. So, but at the same time, we don't even say we are fallen, because if we say we are fallen, then we get a compliment. So just don't say it. That's all. That's why I don't say I'm fallen, and I don't say I'm fallen. I say I'm fallen. I don't say no. I never say I'm fallen. People will say, what is this? Prabhuji never says he's fallen. Because if I say, then people will compliment me. Who is going to think I'm fallen? It's crazy. So then you end up being glorified more than before, isn't it? So I just keep quiet. So I also don't say I'm elevated. That's also the point. Yeah, I'm an average devotee, that's all. Just in the crowd, that's all. So you see, that is what intelligence we should have. Is it clear? It's a good question, actually. It's a very good question.
Yes, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, one last question. And how to maintain that humility for rest of our life?
So I already told, no? Tiffany Mataji, she asked this question. The tips I gave.
Oh, yeah. Got it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, very, very nice class, Prabhuji, and eye-opening class. So I already wrote down the tips you gave, you know. But Prabhuji, yeah, in our mind, we need to focus on our bad qualities and try to correct them, right? But in front of others, you know, when we are preaching, we have to we want to show them how good we are. And why we are good? Because we are worshipping Krishna. So like that means we are good and we are happy and we don't have any problems in our life. In our back of the mind, it's so many problems. We are full of problems and we are you know.
You're right. But you know what? Well, you're right. It happens like that. But you know what? What I personally think is we should not try to show people we are bad. Of course, that is nonsense. Otherwise, they lose faith in Krishna.
Yeah.
But neither we should try to show that we are good. Mm-hmm. We are average. I mean, to say we are average. Yeah. You see Prophet Muhammad. So there was one person who came to Prophet Muhammad and he asked, are you a devotee of Allah? Prophet Muhammad said, well, I am like you. I am an average man. That's all.
Yeah.
And you can also get blessings of Allah. That's what we have to show. We are an average human and we're trying to serve God. That's all. We're neither good, neither bad. That's all. Finish. That's all we should present.
Yes, Prabhuji, you know, I was trying to preach the, you know, way, whom I left before, like, you know, all my colleagues and some of my relatives. And one of them was saying, one of the devotees went to him and gave Bhagavad Gita and told that Mataji told me to give. And he was like, you know, he called me and he said, oh my God, you became a Mataji. He thought like, you know, there might be some Matajis giving classes in Vrindavan or something like that. So he thought I became one of them like that. I said, no. I am just like, you know, the simple person, on an average.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's how we present. We're average people. We're trying to serve Krishna. You also try to serve Krishna.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And even you can do it like that.
Yeah. That side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you for the wonderful class.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Do you have some more time, Prabhuji? There are two.
Yes.
Yeah. Anuradha Mataji, please go ahead with your question, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Please accept my humble obeisances. Thank you for the wonderful class, Prabhu. Prabhu, like when you're talking of humility, which is so hard, and especially the mind, maybe in you know, by words or physically, I'm talking for myself, may not be criticizing that, because I've been hearing about that, how bad is criticizing others. But mind keeps criticizing, because must be doing that for, you know, birth after birth. So keeps doing that. Then another voice comes and say, you know what you are, and how dare you criticize like that. So, you know, between this fight of two voices inside trying to criticize somebody continuously, especially when in the temple, so many devotees come and, oh, this is that, this is that. And then, of course, reminding one ourselves what the past was. But between this struggle, how the humility remains, Prabhu. Is my question clear, Prabhu?
Yeah, it's clear, absolutely clear, because it happens with me also. I mean to say, it's clear, because, but it's, you see the point, what you're doing. You want to, so, yeah, it's clear, but the whole point is that you see, criticism of a bad thing is not bad, first of all, we have to understand. Criticism is not bad until unless you criticize bad stuff. If you criticize lust, anger, greed, that's good. We have to do that. Just like it is said, hate the sin and not the sinner. If you hate the sin, that's good. That is recommended in scriptures. Otherwise, we'll also fall in sin. So, in that way, so criticism is good in one way. So, of course, but when you start criticizing, then you think, okay, well, you know, then I'm not humble. What capacity do I have to judge anybody and criticize anybody? So you're not humble. No, that's not the point there. To recognize sin and to criticize sin, that's reality. That is nothing to do with false ego. That is reality. I mean to say, if somebody is beautiful, you have to say you're beautiful. Somebody is ugly, then he's ugly. That's all. But so that doesn't destroy humbleness. Humbleness is destroyed when we criticize good devotees. That is entirely opposite, enviousness. When we criticize good in devotees, let me put it like that. People have good qualities, and you're even criticizing the good qualities. What's this? And we are actually downplaying their good contribution in devotion. That destroys humbleness. So that is how I can tell you in a very general way. Of course, it's more complicated than that. But don't think criticism will destroy your humbleness until unless criticism is actually applied properly by criticizing sin, criticizing bad stuff. And that's okay. So that's what scripture says. We should do that. I mean, to say teachers. So what do teachers do? They criticize students when they fail and their bad qualities to help them. What do they do? So are teachers not humble? It's a job. So because if we don't criticize bad stuff, then we will tend to absorb this bad stuff. So like that. But of course, so I'm not saying you should always criticize, always keep on criticizing. Because if you want to see bad, then you will keep on seeing bad for eternity. That's also one thing. It never ends. Material world is full of bad stuff. So we should see good things. But if there is a major, but if there's a major fault, then we should see it so that we can correct it. That's the whole point, to correct it. If we can't correct it, then just leave it. That's all. Then you do your own stuff. That's all. That's how I can answer you.
So, Prabhu, so it's of course complicated. In the process of, as you said, good devotee, what do you say, not to criticize a good devotee. Now, the story is I'm myself not qualified enough to understand who is a good devotee. And as you said, also a good devotee might be there, but you know, as you said, for Bamsidas, Babaji Das, Vaishnavara Kriya Mudra Vigyena Bujhe. So it might be there that person might be a good devotee, but to my mundane eyes and to my mundane senses and with all that.
No, then don't do anything. If you think that you can't identify between good and bad and good devotees and it's difficult, then don't do anything. Just glorify Krishna, that's all. Don't see bad, don't see good in devotees. Because we can't see, if we have this thing, then just glorify Krishna, that's all. Finish. And glorify Bhaktivinoda Thakur, pure devotees, parampara, that's all. Just talk with devotees. Why to unnecessarily try to find something good there and we can identify what's good and try to see bad? If we can't do this easily, just forget it. Just glorify Krishna, that's all. Finish.
So when the mind criticizes, we just completely ignore it, isn't it, Prabhu?
Of course, yeah, of course. Then you have to ignore. Yeah, you have to ignore mind and you have to say, glorify Krishna. Why do you want to do this? What's the point? That's all.
Yeah. So with that, Prabhu, sorry, this is the last, like this is a hanging thing. Like as you said, like you go and, you know, put yourself, speak in a way that, you know, others should not think high about you. At the same time, I'm not saying for myself is a Vaishnava Parad, but it is some sort of a chance giving the other person to criticize. Because if somebody says, I watched a Netflix last night, I will immediately think at least not very great about it. So isn't it like when, if somebody is saying like that to me, that I watched a Netflix or any movie or something.
Okay, so if somebody is saying he was Netflix, then you can say Narayan, Narayan, like Narayan Muni says. Just enjoy the game of Maya, that's all. It's entertainment, you know. He is watching entertainment, it's entertainment. Maya is strong and she can flip anybody. So things happen, okay, fine. You watch Netflix, fine. Don't watch from next time and be careful. And that's how Maya is. So you appreciate Maya when you see him. Glorify Maya. That you can do. And glorifying Maya means glorifying Krishna. He's behind that Maya, that strength, that power. Maya is so strong that she bewildered this devotee. What kind? Maya, you are so powerful. You are so great. And you are Krishna's Maya. Krishna is so great. So you do that. That's all.
Okay, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Dandavat pranam, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, are there any more questions for Prabhuji? Yeah, Hari Radha Mataji, please go ahead with your question, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat pranam. If yogis that are in a very elevated position and they are disciples of, you know, very elevated masters, and they're in devotional service and they criticize you and they themselves watch TV when they're doing japa, and then they do all kinds of nonsense, but when other devotees come in front of them, they just criticize. Can we take that as a kripa, that oh my god, that's nice, whatever they say is right, it's correct?
No, come on, you can't think like that, because they are doing completely nonsense stuff. They are doing completely wrong. So we can't say it's nice. It's wrong. They are supposed to be senior devotees and they are supposed to be elevated devotees, and they are doing complete nonsense. They are chanting TV and movies and then they are criticizing others. What kind of devotees they are? So they are not good devotees.
They're buying lots. They're doing illicit sex. They're doing everything that they're not supposed to do. And they're giving devotees alcohol to drink, cigarettes to smoke. And
who is this? Come on. It happens like that?
and they're kirtanis. They're the person who start the kirtan movement. Like, not, but they are doing, they're there, and they're the one who's in charge of it. And then whoever they're doing it with, they're saying that you're wrong. It's your responsibility. You're the one who is not... you're in Maya, you're Sahajis, you're Mayavadi.
No, so, come on. Yeah, this is very bad.
This person is calling us all these names. Can we accept? Yeah, we are, and then change ourselves.
Yeah, no, it's very bad. It's very bad stuff. If this is happening, then you should I know, either leave that place, you know. Don't associate with such devotees. This is really crazy stuff. This is not good. Definitely not good. And you see, that's the point. We have to recognize. We also have to have the ability to recognize what is good and what is bad. That's also there. Otherwise, we will start associating with devotees like this, and then we will get their bad qualities and we'll fall down. So that is one aspect of devotion. And if you can recognize clearly, if you have this ability and you can recognize, then just leave the association. That's all. That's not good. So in the garb of saying everything is nice, everything is good. So you see that philosophy and everything is nice, everything is good. That's a very, very dangerous philosophy. That is also dangerous. See, the point is we have to remain in reality. That's what I was saying. We are not interested in good and bad of this world. No, we are interested in reality. Okay. This is reality. These people are not following devotion. These people are following devotion. And this is darkness. This is light. That's all finished. And take we with the light and advance and leave that. So everything is not good. Everything is not bad either. There's good, there's bad. There's a half glass full, half glass empty. We should have both realities in our mind. And then we should work on it. And then we'll be happy. Vedyam vastam vastu atra shibadam. Otherwise, we'll be confused. And that is the role of philosophy. You see why we are reading philosophy. Philosophy has two roles. One is to give us positive knowledge of Krishna. Another is to give us negative knowledge of Maya. What is Maya? Both things philosophy helps us to train us so that we can understand the distinction between Maya and Krishna. That is philosophy. So, yeah, please don't associate with such devotees. And we are not supposed to glorify them. Never. If we know this, why we should glorify them? But we can pray for them. That we can do. We are not there even to condemn them. Because you see, after millions of lives, they have come to devotion, but they're bewildered by illusory energy. That's what I was saying. You know, they're completely bewildered. It is a movie in front of you. Things are happening every so fast. People are rising, people are falling, people are going here and there. And who is doing this? This is Maya bewildering them. So if Maya is bewildering them, we have to pray to Krishna. Krishna, please help them so that they are not lost in Maya. That should be a mood. So rather than condemning them or rather than associating with them, remain away from them, but pray for them. Krishna, help them to come on the right path. Because somebody will be praying for us, isn't it? If in our eyes they are wrong, in the eyes of maybe demigods or pure people, we are wrong. So they might be praying for us and we will be praying for them. If we don't pray for them, then higher people will not pray for us. You know, we get the same treatment. So that's the whole, I mean to say, that's how we should keep ourselves. Remain away, but pray. Because if we don't pray for them, then we'll develop enviousness for them, right? Because they're bad, this and that. And we'll keep on thinking about them. So we'll lose Krishna consciousness. This is bad. Oh my God, these people are doing this. So. But if you pray for them to Krishna, then what happens is automatically you're thinking of Krishna and at the same time they are benefited. But you remain away from them. We don't praise them. we neither publicly condemn them. That's also not the idea. We remain away and pray for them. That's all. And let Krishna take charge and help them. But if we are in a position to help them through some higher channels, we should try to do it if we are in a position. Otherwise, that's all. What to do?
Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Are there any more further questions for Prabhuji? Yeah. Looks like there are no more questions, Prabhuji. We can
end up here.
Yeah, thank you very much, Prabhuji, for your very enlightening class today. And we are very grateful to you. We look forward for your association again in the future. Let's pay our obeisances to Prabhuji and all the devotees. Vancha
Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Thank you all for joining.
Hare Krishna.
I think it's too late for us to do parikrama today, so I'll just ask Shyamagauri Mataji once again. Hare Krishna, Shyamagauri Mataji. Shall we end the call here?
Yes, Mataji, no parikrama, Mataji. Please,
okay. Thank you, Vinita Mataji. Dandavat Pranam.
Hare Krishna.